we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church. We are a mighty church in Plano, Texas. And we get this question a lot. What kind of church is Redemption Church? Well, we are the kind of church that believes in the mission of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself gave us a mission to reach the entire world. Yeah. Everything we do as a church should be centered on that mission. We're that kind of church. We're going to be talking about that mission today. If you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do. If you don't have an actual book, you can always look on your phone. You just Google this chapter of Matthew, Matthew 28. We're going to be turning to Matthew 28. As you're turning, I want to give a big old Texas God bless y'all to everyone watching online. God bless each and every one of you. We love you guys and gals. Thank you for your encouragement, reaching out to us, sharing, liking, and leaving comments. Really appreciate it. Jesus actually gave us a mission. And far too many Christians do not know about this mission. If Jesus gave you a mission, don't you think that sounds important, Jareth? I've enjoyed worshiping with you today, Jareth. I thank you for worshiping the Lord with me. If you think the church is about singing fun songs, I got to tell you, you're wrong today. Now, we like to sing fun songs, right? Do we? Is it okay to sing fun songs? Would y'all rather sing boring songs? No, it's fun, and it's good to sing fun songs, but that's not our mission. If you think church is about cool sermon series, you're wrong. Now, do we like cool sermon series? Yeah, you bet we like. We love a cool sermon series that teach biblical truth. But that is not our mission. If you think church is about building bigger buildings and filling it with church members, you're wrong. You're wrong again. If you think the church is about convincing the other denomination across the street that they're wrong and that you are correct, if you think that's what Christianity is all about, you are wrong. That is not the mission that Jesus gave us. Are you with me today? I want to ask you three mission-minded questions today. Here it is. Mission-minded questions. Number one, do you know what your mission is? Do you know what your mission is? Jesus gave you a mission. Do you know it? Do you know it? Number two, do you know where to find it in Scripture? I would tell you, if you think you know it, but you don't know where to find it in Scripture, you might need to push pause and find where it is in Scripture before you go off to set out and do a mission, right? And then number three, are you going to accomplish your mission? Christians have been referring to this mission as the Great Commission. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the term Great Commission. All right? They've been using this term since a group of missionaries coined the term in the 1600s. In the 1600s, a group of missionaries coined the term Great Commission. The words Great Commission do not appear in Scripture. But these words accurately describe the work Jesus has called us to do. What is a mission? You know what a mission is? A mission is a task. A mission is an assignment, an instruction, a duty, an objective, and a purpose. Jesus has given us all those things. He's given you a task today. He's given you an assignment, an instruction, a duty, a purpose. Jesus has given us a mission. So that's what a mission is. So what is a co-mission? Co means cooperation. Say cooperation. It is a cooperative mission. It is a co-mission. It is a mission together with each other. This is not just your mission that you do by yourself. It is a mission that we do together. We cooperate with each other. And as good as that is, that's not even half of it. We also cooperate with Jesus. So we're doing this mission together, you and I, but also with the Lord. That is the commission. We are commissioned with the Lord and with each other. Is this, so we've talked about mission, commission, so now ask this question, is it great? Is it great? You bet it is. Three reasons why it's great. It is the hope for all humanity. the hope for all humanity. Everybody is trying to figure out how to give hope to the human race, how to give hope in Washington, how to give hope to a foreign nation undergoing war. Let me tell you, the place where you find hope for all humanity is in this great commission the Lord gave us. Number two, it unleashes the power of God. Could we turn up the lights back down here, back here? I want to make sure nobody's falling asleep on me, and also I want to see beautiful, happy faces. So if you could turn up the lights everywhere, but where Shelton is, I want to see beautiful, happy faces everywhere. Jokes. I love you, Shelton. All right, so number one, it's a hope for all humanity. Number two, it unleashes the power of God. Anybody love the power of God?
Yeah.
Would you like to unleash the power of God in your life? All right, you need to listen up today. And then third, it brings ultimate purpose into your life. If you're sitting here today going, I just don't know, I feel like I don't know my purpose, you need to listen up, because the Great Commission brings ultimate purpose to your life. I read an article this week that suggested we rebrand the Great Commission. Now, I just told you, the Great Commission is not, those words are not found in the Bible. So this article suggested that we rebrand it, remarket it for a new generation. And they suggested that we undertake the words, the cause. So I thought that was interesting. We live in a world that's running after causes, aren't we? Yeah, running after causes everywhere. Causes gather a lot of attention and a lot of energy, especially in younger people. Younger people, you point them to a cause and they will run after it. Causes draw a collective of people working for something greater than themselves. Does that describe the mission that Jesus gave us?
Yes.
Is it a collective of people working something for something that's greater than ourselves? Do you agree with that? This Great Commission, this cause, is the cause above all causes.
Yes.
Whatever you wish to call it, Redemption Church, we need to come together and we need to embrace the work of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, before Jesus left earth, after the crucifixion, after the burial, after the resurrection, and before the ascension into heaven, right before Jesus left earth, he spoke some final words. He gave a final command. Think about how important final words are. Have you ever lost somebody that meant a lot to you, and maybe you remember the last conversation you had with them? Maybe if they only have few minutes left on this earth, and they draw you close, and they, with a whisper, they say something. How important are these moments? Would you just like stay playing on your phone, or would you put your phone down and listen to the last words of your loved one, of your great friend? Would you do that? You better do that. If you don't, we will open these altars later. You need to get your life right. Right? Can I get an amen on that one? We hold dear these final conversations. We're about to look at the final conversation of Jesus before he left his disciples. He spent 3.5 years with them, and he tells them these final words before he leaves the earth. Jesus gave this cause before he ascended, and he wants it fulfilled before he returns. He gave this cause, this mission, before he ascended, and he wants Redemption Church for us to fulfill it before he returns. I asked you earlier if you know your mission, and I asked you if you know where to find this cause in your Bible. I was really interested this week. I did a Google search. Google knows everything. Google doesn't know this. Hey, somebody's checking out our our live stream, Facebook, already. I'm glad you're sharing it. All right, there we go. I checked out Google this week, and I asked, where's the Great Commission found? And guess what? Google took me to a well-known church website, and they got it completely wrong. How, that doesn't give you much hope for the church. If a very well-known question, a church question-answer site got this completely wrong. They said it's found two places in Scripture. Wrong, absolutely wrong. Big X on that. Big X on it. How many places do you think the Great Commission is found in your Scripture? Think about that for a second. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but think about it. I'm going to tell you right now, the answer is not two. This command, This commission and cause is found five times in Scripture. It's found five times from the mouth of Jesus in Scripture. You ought to know it. You ought to know each and every one. The Great Commission is found in each of the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Never forget that there are red letters in the book of Acts that a Jesus who ascended into glory still talks in the book of Acts. Okay? Don't ever forget it. We need some red letters in our life, don't we? We need the Lord speaking to us. They all read differently, these five places where the Great Commission is found. They all read differently, but they point to the same mission. And we're going to cross-reference each passage. This would be a great sermon for you to take a pen out and actually write in your Bible some notes. We're turned to Matthew 28. We're going to begin at verse 18. Matthew 28, 18 through verse 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them." Very next verse, verse 20. We're missing that one. If you could pull that one up. Matthew 28:20, there it is. "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we're looking at this verse right here, three verses right here, and we're going to take note on what Jesus commanded them to do. Go back to verse 19. Say, "Go."
Go.
Do you see "go" in there?
Yes.
Yeah. Over and over again, you're going to see this happen. Take note that Jesus' mission, his mission is not for you to come sit in a church, but it is for you to go. Not just to go to your nation, but to go to all nations. Now, he's talking to Jews at this point, right? And he's telling them, listen, this mission is more than for just Israel. It is for all nations. Say, go.
Go.
To all nations.
All nations.
Also, I want to get you, go to verse 20. Go back to 19. And make disciples. Making disciples is part of the Great Commission. That you are to teach them. Verse 20. Now go to 20. Therefore, and teaching them to obey everything. So you make disciples. Do you know how you make disciples? You teach them something. And what are we supposed to teach them? Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Do you realize how important it is for you to learn about Jesus? It's so important because it's not supposed to just stop with you. You're supposed to learn about Jesus and teach someone else everything you have learned from Jesus Christ. You're to go make disciples. Go back to verse 19. And baptize. Baptism is a part of this mission. And then back to 20. We're going to be going back and forth here. And he says this, "I am with you always." Part of the Great Commission is that Jesus is cooperatively working this mission with us. I am with you always. All right. The idea of this is by the power of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus is with us. We'll see this return also. And then one more thing. In verse 19, it says, baptizing them in the name. We will see this show up one more time. Go. Make disciples. Teach. Baptism. I am with you. The Spirit and the name. Now turn to Mark chapter 16. It is the very next book of your Bible. Mark chapter 16. Now, this is Mark's account of the same mission. Mark's version of the same account. It's going to read differently, but we're going to see some things show up. Mark 16, beginning at verse 15. He said to them, go. Whoa, right there, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Verse 19, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Verse 20, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Let's take note. Let's take note of what we are commanded to do in Mark 16. This is our cause. To go where? Into all the world. See that? Was that in Matthew 28?
Yep.
Absolutely. Go to every nation. Now it's saying to go into all the world. To make disciples. To preach to them. Is that what it says?
Yep.
Yes, it is. To preach. And to make disciples, to teach, preach, tell somebody. What does that lead to? That leads to belief. And belief leads to salvation. He that believes shall be saved. So we are to teach and preach about Jesus. And when people believe what we bring them, they will be saved. You want to see somebody saved? Have you told them about Jesus? You have family members you want to see saved? When have you told them about Jesus? Redemption Church, do we want to see Plano saved? Then we need to preach about Jesus. He needs to be every sermon that we preach. He needs to be every song that we sing. He needs to be with us every day of our life. Does anybody believe it? Do we believe it? My goodness. I've seen way too many church growth conferences and church growth seminars that focused on making people very comfortable and not focused on preaching Jesus. Our Great Commission is to not make people comfortable. Our Great Commission is to preach the Lord Jesus Christ to all the world. Somebody clap your hands if you believe it. You believe it? Am I in the right church? I walked into the right church today. And guess what? It says, he that believes and is baptized. Right there we see baptism show up again. And then in verse 17, 18, that these scriptures make a lot of people nervous, all right? It talks about these signs that will accompany me, right? We got demons being driven out. We got speaking in new tongues. We got picking up snakes with their hands. I'm not all about that. I'm not in the physical, right? I'm total about that in the spiritual, right? And drinking poison and placing their hands on sick people and they get well. You know what this is? This is the Spirit's work.
Yes.
He's saying that when you do this, the Spirit will be active. That the Spirit will be ministering to you. Just like he said, I am with you. He's saying my Spirit is with you and my Spirit will be doing all these things. Go into the world, preach, baptism, and the Spirit's power. And then verse 20 is so powerful. The disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord. The Lord did what? He worked with them.
Amen.
When you preach Jesus, Jesus works with you. And confirms his word by the signs that accompanied it. And then last, how about this? He says, in my name, they'll drive out demons. There's that again. The name of Jesus shows up in his mission. I tell you what, we can't speak his name too much.
Right.
We can speak his name too little.
Yeah.
I've been to denominational meetings where they said the name of their denomination 10 times more than they said the name of their Savior. Shouldn't be.
No.
The name of Jesus is the most important name here at this church. Yeah. The name of Jesus is the one we need to lift high. Not the name of Chris Fluitt. Not the name of Marshall. Not any other person's name. The name of Jesus is above every other name. Say amen if you believe it.
Amen.
All right. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24. Are you still with me today? Luke 24. So we've gone to Matthew. We've gone to Mark. The very next book is Luke. chapter 24. You should be noticing patterns. Have you noticed a pattern yet? You haven't noticed a pattern. I'm not doing a good job preaching yet. Have you noticed a pattern yet? Luke 24, beginning at verse 46. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Verse 47. "And repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Verse 48. "You are witness of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Luke 24 and 50. "When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven." Verse 52. "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God." All right, verse 46. Let's go back to verse 46. He says these important things right here, that the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Is that important?
Yes.
Is there any church without it?
No.
Is there any hope for humanity without it? He holds that important truth that everybody, you realize how important that is. And he finishes the thought by talking about your mission. This is the words of Jesus. This is not the words of your pastor. It is the words of your Savior. He says, this is what's really important, that the Messiah will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and this is what you are supposed to do. Verse 47, "And repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached." So let's take note. Repentance is a part of this mission. Repentance, that word hasn't come up yet, but it's a part of this mission. What is repentance? Repentance is a turn away from sin and a turn back towards God. Repentance is to turn away from sin and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and stop sinning. Stop sinning and walk towards Jesus. Is repentance a part of your mission? Are you supposed to tell people about repentance? Can you lead somebody in repentance? You better. Because it's your mission to lead someone in repentance. I tell you what, you know, it's really easy to lead someone in repentance. I think sometimes the hardest part about repentance is to make sure they know how easy it is. This is one of the most important things when I'm leading someone in repentance. I say, okay, do this. Jesus, I am a sinner. I've done these sinful things. And I confess I'm a sinner and I need you to forgive me. I want to live for you. And I just led them through that. How hard was that? Here's the most important thing. You look them in the eye and you tell them, Jesus just forgave you of all your sins. You don't have to wait a week. You don't have to pray 5 more hours. You don't have to crawl on the floor until God really knows you're sorry. You don't have to cry really big tears. I mean, really big tears. I mean, those tears aren't big enough. Let's cry bigger tears. No, none of that. You need to be able to tell somebody, God just forgave you of your sins. Now that he forgave you of your sins, what should you do? You should lift your hands and you should thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Could anybody forgiven in this house? You should lift up your hands right now and say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins. I'm not worthy to be forgiven, but your grace and your mercy and your blood has covered me, and I thank you for it. Somebody clap your hands if you're thankful for repentance. Now, y'all, listen, that is important because we can over-mystify things. We can over-emotionalize things. Have you ever done something to somebody and you tried to get them to forgive you, but they wanted you to be sorrier than you were? How do you be sorrier than you are? I've tried. I tell you, let me step on my foot. Maybe I'll be sorrier. Maybe I need to be in more pain. That's not what it is about. Forgiveness is all about confessing you are a sinner and trusting that he loves you and will forgive you. We need to be able to lead people into repentance. We need to be able to lead people into repentance. Can I tell you this? If you know somebody that needs to know Jesus, you got to start with the gospel of Christ and then lead them in repentance. That's it. That's the Bible study for you. No, you shouldn't jump to Revelation. and go, oh man, let me tell you about Daniel's 70th week. No. The cross and repentance. Right. That's your map right there. Repentance. Forgiveness. That is in some translations. The remission. Everybody say remission.
Remission.
Of sins. And that is a certain Greek word. Ephesus. 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 I might be saying it wrong. I'm very certain that I'm saying it wrong because I don't speak Greek. I am a Texan, y'all. All right. Forgiveness, remission of sins is part of the mission. What is remission of sins? It means that all your sins are erased, that they are removed. I'm going to show you in a few moments how that this term, remission of sins, is tied to repentance and to baptism. Next, we got preach and witness. What is that? Have we seen that before?
Yeah,
preach, absolutely, and witness. That's a new way of saying it, but it is the same thing as teaching. It is the same thing as teaching others what you have learned from Christ. You are now witnessing it to other people. And does the name show up in this verse, in this chapter? Absolutely. Shows up again. That repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached what?
In
His name. I tell you what, if you claim to have a mission, but you don't have His name present, you don't have the mission. His name needs to be present. And then it says again, all nations, that ties in with the idea of going. And then He talks about the promise of the Father. What's the promise of the Father? What's the promise? It is the Spirit. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit living in us. It is Christ within us. Just like He said, I am with you always. Just like it said that He was with them doing the works. Just like it was the Spirit of God doing all the manifestation stuff in Mark 16. The driving out of demons and everything. Right now He's telling them about the promise of the Father that they need to wait for. There's a certain city they need to go to. What's the name of that city? Jerusalem, and wait for that gift. All right, so we're taking note. Now I want you to turn to the next book. What's the next book in your New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John's always interesting, isn't he?
Yeah.
John's always different. Without boring you, we've got synoptic gospels, and then you got John. You got these gospels that like move together, and they have like the same patterns and everything. And then you got John. John is just an oddball. He's different. It's not that he's an oddball. It's his book. It's totally written differently. He had a unique relationship with God, and it comes out in his writing. He always uses his own way of describing things. Like he starts, in the beginning was the Word, right? I mean, none of the other books start that way except Genesis, maybe. In the beginning was God, right? God created the heavens and the earth. He always uses his own way of describing events. And this is also true, very true, of how he describes the cause Jesus gave him before he ascends. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Let's take note. Sent, what is that tied to? I'm sending, go. Go where? To all nations. He is sending you into the world, to all nations. Just like God the Father sent His Son into the world, He is now sending you. He is sending you. If you ever feel like you ought to walk across the room and tell somebody about Jesus, that wasn't you. That was Jesus sending you. You're sent. You're sent. If it's in your heart to go into your school this year and to share Jesus Christ like you never have before, that's not you, friend. You aren't that good. That is Jesus. He is sending you. If God puts it in your heart to just walk around your neighborhood and start praying and start declaring the gospel, guess what? That's not you. That is the Lord who has sent you. He's got apostles. Do you know what apostle means? It means sent one. Are there any apostles in the house? Because if this is your mission, you are an apostle. He has sent you into the world. He sent you into the world. And then we've got the Spirit. He breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Spirit. Have they received it at this point? No, they haven't. We'll read about that later, all right? And then one of the most confusing verses in the Bible. I want to just try to make it really simple for you. The forgiveness of sin. Whoever sins, you forgive. Whoever sins, you don't forgive. And some people have taken that to mean all kinds of stuff. We won't even go down that rabbit trail. But I'm going to bring this back to you. We've got the same root word for remission of sins. That forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name. It's the same thing. He's talking about the same thing. He is not talking about a new doctrine. He's talking about preaching repentance and the remission of sins in His name. And when you tie that to repentance, leading people into repentance and baptizing people, that we see that you are involved in that person's life, having their sins forgiven, having their sins turned over to God, that you would be a part of that. So one more time, we have forgiveness, remission of sins showing up, and that's the same Greek word used in Luke 24:47, the Greek root, I should say. We have one more place where Jesus gave us this cause. Turn to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, turn, Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. So we've talked about Matthew, we've talked about Mark, we've talked about Luke, we've talked about John, the Great Commission, the cause. Now Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority." Verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Verse 9, after He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. It is interesting that Luke is the writer of Acts. Did you know this? Luke is the writer of Acts. And so he gave us the account of Luke 24, and he also gave us the account of Acts chapter 1. And his version of the story in both writings, they differ and focuses on different points of the story. But let's take note. What someone shout out something that this focuses on. Verse 8. "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit." Have we seen that before? Did that show up anywhere else? Did it show up in Mark 16? Oh, absolutely. Did it show up in John 20? Absolutely. And here it is in Acts chapter 1. That the Spirit, that Christ with them is going to be providing dynamite power. The word there is dunamis. Dunamis, it is the word, the root word where we get dynamite. That this Spirit of God is dynamite power inside of you. Everything Mark 16 said about healing, driving out demons, seeing miracles and signs, it is this dunamis power that comes from God's Spirit living in you that does these things. Yes. It does these things. Looking on, it says witnessing. What is that tied to? Somebody help me. What is that tied to? "You shall be witnesses," teaching, preaching, making disciples. You need to be a witness that you are teaching them everything that Christ has taught you. That's what a witness does. All a witness does is they stand before a court and they say, "This is what I know. This is what I've experienced." It's not hearsay. It's not something I got from someone else. It's not what I heard from so-and-so. It is what I experienced firsthand. What you have experienced firsthand with Christ, you're supposed to share with the world. Amen. Under the power and authority of the dynamite power of the Spirit. All right, the Spirit witnessing, and then what? Go. Do you see go there? "You will be My witnesses" where? In Jerusalem. That's where they're standing right now. In Jerusalem, let's call it Plano, right? This applies to us. Wherever you're standing, wherever you're watching this right now, wherever you are right now is where you're supposed to start, but it's not where you're supposed to end. It begins where you start, in Jerusalem, and then to Judea. What is Judea? Judea is the surrounding area around Jerusalem, and it's not supposed to stop at Judea. It's supposed to go on to Samaria. Samaria is a larger area, and then it's supposed to stop where? It's never supposed to stop. It's supposed to go to the ends of the earth. Redemption Church, that starts right here in Plano, and it goes to your neighborhood, and it goes to the Metroplex, and it goes to the state of Texas. It goes to the United States, and it will never stop. It will go until the whole world has heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. How can you possibly do that? See the dunamis power? Come back to that idea, because he's put that power in you to carry this to the whole world. This is our mission. This is our cause. We should be fulfilling the command of Christ. So now, let me switch things up. Let me ask you this question. Where in your Bible is the Great Commission, the cause of Christ, the first fulfilled? Where in your Bible is the Great Commission, the cause of Christ, first fulfilled? Think about that real quick. Think about it. Your New Testament doesn't just record the giving of this cause. Your New Testament records the disciples accomplishing the command of Christ. Somebody help me. What book of the Bible would you go to if you wanted to see the action of the church? You would go to the book of Acts. That you're already there. You're in Acts chapter 1. Go one more chapter over to Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be jumping around some verses. Hang with me. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Who were these people?
Disciples.
The disciples. How many people are there? Anybody know? There were 120 people there. Can anybody name somebody there? Peter. All the disciples minus Judas, right? He's dead at this point. But all the disciples are there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. It gives us a listing of people. The brand new disciple, Matthias, is there. Guess who else is there? God's Spirit is there. It shows up in an unmistakable way. Can you imagine being in there and not recognizing the Spirit's arrival? It would be impossible. I tell you what, we need the Spirit to arrive in our church, in our city, and in our family in such a way that everybody notices it. That everybody, that the Spirit, I mean, we call like a little goosebump sometime, whoa, the Spirit arrived. No, that's not the kind of arrival I'm looking for. I'm looking for an Acts chapter 2 arrival where a wind of God blows through that place and lives are changed forever. I want that. You need to want that. It's part of the mission. All right, I want you to take note. The Spirit arrives and it fills some of the believers. It fills all of the believers. And it happens just like Jesus said it would. Didn't he say that they would speak in a new tongue?
Yes.
Did it happen?
Yes.
Did he breathe on them and say, receive the Holy Spirit? And then did a absolute breath of heaven flow through that place?
Yes.
Absolutely. Just as he said. Moving on. Verse 5, Acts 2. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Now these are not the disciples. These are not the people that have been filled with the Holy Spirit. It is telling us that Jews from all over had gathered in Jerusalem. They were celebrating the feast of Pentecost. Now take note. Every nation is present. Whoa, whoa, isn't that part of the mission?
Yeah.
Every nation is present. They were called to take this cause to every nation, to all the world, and lo and behold, on the street was every nation walking through the streets of that city. It's almost like God planned it, right? We'll jump a little bit. Verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. The short story is that everybody reacted to the Spirit's arrival. Those that didn't believe in Jesus reacted to the Spirit's arrival. Some of them criticized the church, but here's how they responded. Peter stood up with the 11, verse 14, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Let's take note. They were called to go, weren't they?
Yes.
They were called to go. They were called to preach, weren't they?
Yes.
To teach, to be witness. Peter, with the rest of the apostle, stands up and he raises his voice. Can I tell you something? That you have to stand up if you're going to fulfill the Great Commission. That you have to actually give your voice to the cause. Now you listen to me, because I, for far too long, I've heard people say, well, the Great Commission is for the pastor to fulfill. No, it is for you to fulfill. It's for you to stand up. You listen to me. It is for your voice to fulfill the Great Commission, all right? And he explains to them. He explains it to them. What? What does he explain? Everything that God had given him, that Christ had given him, he was now giving to them. Let me explain it to you. Let me make it clear to you. Let me tell you, you need to know the Word of God so well that you can explain it to somebody. We talk a lot about being able to quote Scripture. That's really good. But no, past knowing how to quote Scripture, you really need to know how to explain Jesus to others. You need to be able to explain the cross to others. Don't take it for granted that people know about the cross. They don't. They don't. They're waiting for you to stand up, raise your voice. Now we're going to jump to verse 22, Acts 2, 22. We're jumping around to save time. This is the same Peter preaching. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you and through him, as you yourselves know. Verse 23, this man was handed over to you by God, by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Verse 24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Can we take note for a moment? You can clap for that. That's our Jesus. Yeah. Take note. Peter preaches what? Jesus. He preaches a who. Can I tell you something? Jesus needs to be every sermon that we preach. He needs to be every song that we sing. He needs to be every prayer that we pray. I'm all for cool sermon series, but they all need to end at the same place. They need to end with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They all need to end with the blood of Jesus and God's love for you. They all need to end with God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I hope y'all aren't tired about hearing about Jesus, because it is what our mission is about. Peter preaches Jesus. Peter speaks the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We're not just talking about God. It's not enough to tell people about God. It's not enough to just say, hey, you just need to believe in God. Believe that there is a God. As powerful as that is, that's not what saves you. Jesus Christ saves you. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he went to the cross and died for you, was buried, and rose again. You have to believe that. And Redemption Church, we have to preach that. And you have to tell your children about that. You have to tell the world about that. That is your message. We sometimes just believe, you know, it's enough just to believe that there is a God who created everything. Look at everything. Don't you believe that God created that? Oh, great. Now you're a Christian. Wrong. Wrong, wrong. You are a Christian because of the Christ. You are a Christian because of Jesus. You are a Christian because you found out Jesus died but didn't stay dead. And nobody else can do that. There are religions everywhere that proclaim a God, but you proclaim a Christ. You proclaim a Jesus.
Amen.
And we got to proclaim him. And that's what Peter did right here.
Yes.
I tell you what, he proclaimed a Christ. A few chapters later, it got him beat. later in his life, this Christ that he proclaims nailed him to a cross. And every one of these disciples suffered for the same Jesus. If they could have done it any other way, they would have done it any other way. But it can't be done any other way. We got to proclaim Jesus Christ. We got to stand up. We got to raise our voice. And what needs to be on our voice is not the name of a denomination, not the name of our preacher, but the name of our Christ. What's his name, Redemption Church? His name is Jesus. Somebody put his name on your lips right now. Jesus! It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Peter preached the gospel. The gospel. The gospel is the word euangelion. It means the good news. And it is the death. It is the burial. And it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just like Mark 16 and 16 said Peter should do. That the gospel should be preached in his name. He is preaching it in the name of Jesus. Moving on down to verse 37. He continues preaching Jesus right there. He really preaches at him. Verse 37. When the people heard this. Heard what? The message about Jesus. They heard the message that they nailed him to a cross. Do you realize that your sin nailed the Son of God to a cross? I know that you were not there 2,000 years ago. But your sin just as much nailed him to a cross. The cross. When the people in Acts 2 heard this, they were cut to their heart. Have you ever felt cut to your heart? And said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Take note. These people heard the gospel. They heard the message of Christ. And guess what? They believed it. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You hear the message and you believe it. Our biggest goal, one of our just our goal, like getting out the gates of this race, is to preach Jesus and see people believe it. But that's not enough. It doesn't stop with believing. And let me tell you, let me just be rude. I'm going to be rude right here. I'm not going to name any denomination or any other church because I love them all. But you listen to me. All over this Metroplex today, they stopped at believing. They preached Jesus and they led someone through a sinner's prayer and they stopped it and said, congratulations, our mission is accomplished. Wrong. Wrong. Who says it's wrong? Matthew 28 says it's wrong. Mark 16 says it's wrong. Luke 24 says it's wrong. John 20 says it's wrong. Acts 1 says it's wrong. And you're about to see it wrong in Acts chapter 2. Are you with me? Did I lose you?
No.
My goodness, we got to fulfill this mission. You can't just do it any old way. He gave you the mission. Who gave it to us? Jesus. I suggest we do it just like he said. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We share this gospel. We see people believe. And then there is more for people to do. They ask Peter and the apostles, what shall we do? What do we need to do? This commission carries commands that you need to do something. You can't just stop at belief. There are things you need to do. Peter's response was, well, if you believe, then you've done everything that you need to do. Congratulations, brother. That is not what he says. No, here is Peter's response. Can we look at Acts 2:38? Bring Acts 2:38 up. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Take note for a second. Repent.
Yep.
Repent. Did he say that repentance should be preached in his name?
Yes.
There it is. Did he say be baptized?
Yes.
Yeah. For the what? Remission, for the forgiveness of sins. Did he say repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name? Absolutely. Did he say that whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted?
Yes.
Here it is. It's tied to repentance and baptism in what name? In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. You repent in Jesus' name. You're baptized in Jesus' name. And all your sins are taken away in Jesus' name. Forgiveness, remission of sins. Guess what? It's the same Greek word that Luke used in chapter 24. And you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the gift that comes straight from the Father. The promise of the Father. The gift that comes from the Father. We're told by John the Baptist that who gives us the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Well done, sir. That Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and the fire. John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to tie, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, and with the fire. And here, it's being fulfilled. Here, just like this same Jesus who preached to Nicodemus about being born again of the water and the Spirit. Here we see it being fulfilled. This same Jesus who gave us the Great Commission in Acts chapter 2, we finally see it being fulfilled. Now there are some people that would tell you this is a one-time event. It's not a one-time event. If it's a one-time event, the mission's over. What are we still doing here? This mission is still for us today. Acts 2:39, the promise. The promise of what? The promise of Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized, name of Jesus, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That promise, it says that promise is for who?
You.
Yeah, but he's talking to people 2,000 years ago, so that's not us, right? And your children. That's a few generations, right? And for all who are afar off. Well, maybe they meant just geographically. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Well, that one's hard to get past, right? That one's hard. Are you called of God or not? The promise is for you. Are you called of God or not? I got news for you. We are the ones that were afar off. We are the ones that were afar off, but the promise found us. The promise of God, the promise of His Spirit, the promise of the forgiveness of sins, it is for us. Take note, the promise is for every generation. The promise is for every nation. The promise is for you. The promise is for your family. The promise is for your friends. It's for Plano. It's for Dallas. It's for your school. It's for your job. It is for your church. It is for everyone. Buddhists, it's for Buddhists. This promise is for Muslims. This promise is for Jews. It's for atheists. It's for every denomination, all whom the Lord is calling, and He's calling out to everyone, whosoever will come and drink of this water and never thirst again. Oh, what does that next verse say? This is what He was saying about the Holy Spirit that yet was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's what it says. It's for everyone. Jesus is crying out, come and drink of this Spirit. It's for red, yellow, black, and white people. It's for every shade of the rainbow. It was the mission of the church, and it still is the mission of the church. Continuing, Acts 2:41, those who accepted His message. Message about who?
Jesus.
They accepted the message about Jesus. They were what? Baptized, and about how many? About 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 added. 3,000 baptized. The power of God is present when we are connected to the cause of Christ. You want to see revival in your church? You want to see your church explode in growth? Then you need to connect to the cause of Jesus Christ. Not just Peter was connected to that cause. Every apostle was connected to that cause. All 120 were connected to that cause. They were all in one mind and one accord, and it resulted in 3,000 being saved. I wonder, Redemption Church, if we would show up to church and all be in one mind and one accord for once. Wouldn't that be nice? I guarantee you, you would not have normal church. You'd have miracle signs and wonders. What am I talking about? I'm talking about we are all in one mind, and not one of us is like, I'm just tired today. I think I'm going to rest. Or, you know, that's not my favorite song, so I'm just going to sit down. No, I'm talking about that they were all in one mind. They had their entire heart on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what resulted in it? 3,000 souls. If we want to see that kind of revival, you can't just let your pastor or let your worship team or let your Sunday school teacher be about the gospel. We all need to be in one mind and one accord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What do you say for the rest of today? We just get in that one mind and one accord that Jesus Christ is the most important message the world could ever hear. That His name is the name that needs to be on our lips. He is the only one that can bring forgiveness. He is the only one that can baptize us with His Spirit. The power of God is present when we're connected to the cause of Christ. Can I tell you as I close today, make this your cause. Look at somebody, tell them, make this your cause. Make this your cause. This is not just Peter and John's cause. This is not just your pastor's cause. This is not just your parents' cause. This is not just the deacon board of your church's cause. This is your cause. It's your cause because Jesus gave it to you. If you are arguing today that it's not your cause, you are not arguing with me. You are arguing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do it. You're going to lose that argument. I recently talked to someone who went to do ministry at a summer youth camp. At this camp, they did something they never did before. This person that went to this camp did something they had never done before. They baptized a young person. They went out into the water, prayed for a person, and in the name of Jesus, lowered them into the water, and in the name of Jesus, raised them again to new life. They baptized a young person, and this person came home so excited, and they looked me in the eye, Junior. They looked me in the eye, and they said, Chris, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could do that. Is that you today? I didn't know that I could stand in that place and baptize someone in Jesus' name. I looked at them and I said, not only can you do that, the Lord Jesus commanded you to do that. And so much more. You're called for the cause. You're called to do those things. You're called to lead people in repentance. You're called to baptize people. That's not just the job of a pastor. Show me where that is in the Bible. It's not anywhere in the Bible. The name of the person that baptizes you in the water is not as near as important as the name you're baptized in.
Right.
Come on, somebody. You're called to go. That's you. You're called to make disciples. You're called to teach Bible studies. You're called to share the truth that you know about Jesus that came from heaven straight to you. You're called to share that with other people. You're called to invoke the name of Jesus in situations. You're called to see new believers. You're called to lead people in repentance and to baptize them, to see people born again by His Spirit. You're called to do all of these things. These altars are open right now. Every time we come gather together, we worship God together. We receive the Word of God together. We've done those two things. Now it's time for the third thing. Why don't you come? Or what are you waiting for? Come right now. Come make this your cause today. As you come today, why don't you say, God, I want you to help me fulfill this great commission this cause. Help me to do it. The gospel's been preached today. You know what that means? That means God's power is present. That means that he is present working with us to do miracles, signs, and wonders. That's what we believe. That's what we just read. Come receive a miracle today. Come have someone pray for you and have God minister in your life like you've never felt him before. If you want prayer, come in the first 2 feet. We want to pray with you. We're excited to do so. Come commit yourself to this cause. As a church, could we all commit ourselves to this cause? In the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this house, every person that's watching, listening online, God, get a hold of their hearts, God. Lord, make them a part of this mission. Move in their life, God, in Jesus' name. Give them the words to say. Give them the boldness to speak the name of Jesus. Give them the boldness to share what you've already given them. They don't even have to learn one new thing. They just need to share what they've already learned about you, God. You put it in our hearts. Put it in this church, God, to grow. Not grow by worldly ways. Not grow by somebody's ideas on church growth. But to grow it by sharing the name of Jesus with our friends and our family, God. Move in our life. Let that happen in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God in this place. He's in this house. He wants to minister to us in the name of Jesus. Come on, Redemption Church. Yeah.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.